be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? God's Yes. Based on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, these verses. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him is yes. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes. Obviously, today's Reformation Sunday, and Reformation reminds us of two things, both the need to change and the need to get back to the basics. The original Reformation Day, 499 years ago, a German monk, Martin Luther, was calling his church both to change and to get back to the basics. Change was needed to stop the practices of the church at that time that were leading a people away from the truth of the gospel and the love of God in Christ Jesus. Back to the basics was needed to make sure the leaders taught and the people trusted the true basic Bible message of God's mercy for all sinners. Such a reform is needed in the church today. Such a reform is needed in our lives today. Do you realize that not everything that goes on under the name of God or church today is true to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Today's sermon is both an example of change and getting back to the basics. The change is that today's sermon is in the form of a two-person drama, a conversation that occurred some 30 years ago, between a Lutheran pastor and a taxi cab driver in St. Louis, Missouri. The basics, though, come in the message itself, getting us back to what is truly important in life, to God's first commandment, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. I believe Luther would approve of today's message. Again, our title, God's Yes. Again, our text. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, he was not yes and no. But in him, in Christ, is yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes.
Where to?
Airport, please.
You a priest or something?
Oh, the caller. I'm a Lutheran pastor.
That's so. I used to go to Lutheran church. St. Paul's on the north side. Pastor Jones baptized my kids. Do you know him?
Well, yes, I do.
Yeah, I like him a lot, but I don't go much anymore. You know, I got a theory about religion. All religions are okay if you practice them.
All religions are okay as long as you practice them. Is that so?
Yeah. Every religion is good so long as you put it into practice.
Say, could I test your theory?
Sure, go ahead. I always like to talk about religion.
Now, we'll talk here, but keep your eye on the road, buddy. Is that all right? Okay.
Got it.
I want to test your theory. All religions are okay as long as you put them into practice. What would you say about Hitler and Nazism from World War II? Was that a good religion?
Well, that wasn't no religion.
Well, but it had many of the characteristics of religion. Rituals, doctrines, heretics. Most importantly, Hitler demanded and got total loyalty and obedience. The institutions of Nazism replaced those of Christianity almost item by item. What does that do to your theory that every religion is good as long as you put it into practice?
Well, let me tell you, you got a crazy definition for religion.
Well, how so?
Well, I always think of religion as, you know, churches and praying and preaching and that stuff.
And if you don't go to church, then you're not very religious.
Well, you know, like I said, I sort of got away from it.
Well, maybe you did. Or maybe you just got away from a churchy kind of religion. And maybe religion could include a lot more than church. For example, what are you loyal to? What do you really care about?
Well, lots of things, like five-pin bowling. Yeah, I sure like to bowl, twice a week. And I got a pretty good average, too, 350. Do you bowl?
Well, just a little bit. But is five-pin bowling the most important thing in the world for you? Does it have your highest loyalty? Would you do anything to bowl?
No, I guess not. It's not important like that.
Well, what is?
I guess, well, my kids maybe. They're pretty important. Even got me to go to church for a while. You know, St. Paul's there on the north side. That's how much I do for them. One's in college now. That's why I drive this cab a couple nights a week and on weekends. I need the money for the kids.
Huh. You do anything for your kids?
Yeah, I guess so. Anything. My boy, the one in military, you know, he's studying engineering. The way it looks in the world these days, he might end up going to war. I'd go for him if I could.
Is that so?
Yeah, I guess I'd do anything for the kids. The wife says I care too much. But what else does a man got to live for? No, take my kids away and I don't care anymore.
Sounds like that's your religion.
I thought you were going to say that. I sort of knew that's what you're driving at way back when you asked what I cared about. I tried to change the subject because I know that's what you're going to say. You're going to say I worship my kids, just like the wife says.
Well, do you?
All right. Let me tell you. Yeah, I do. And it bothers me. I used to go into the rooms at night when they were little, and they'd be sleeping, and I'd love them so much, I could just feel it. And I knew I couldn't stand to have them suffer. And when they were sick, it was worse on me than it was on them. I knew if one of them died, it would be awful. I knew I couldn't stand it. I would even pray once in a while that God wouldn't let them die. I thought going to church might help, but then there didn't seem to be a God. Excuse me, Reverend. I don't mean to insult you.
You know, that's okay. Go ahead.
Finally, it just seemed useless, all the singing and praying and sitting and standing. Mind you, I'm not against religion. It's good for the kids to get some starch into their lives, you know, something to keep them straight. But I know if that something was going to go wrong, it was just going to happen to them. It just would. There's nothing I could do. So what's the use, Reverend? What do I do? And don't tell me to believe in God. That don't work. I tried.
Well, I'm not going to talk to you about God. But we can talk about religion because you have a religion and you're practicing it right now, driving this cab. You don't have to believe there is a God because you already have a God. Your kids. I could say even more. You use your kids to justify your life. That's what keeps you working and living.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Why don't you tell me?
Come on now, don't play games with me.
I'm not, really I'm not. I think you already told me what's wrong.
When?
When you talked about how much you loved your kids and ended up thinking of one of them dead, maybe in a war, and you not able to do anything about it.
I still don't get it.
Look, the point that you yourself are making is this. You have a God. Something that says yes to you. Something that justifies your existence. Everybody who goes on living has made or found that kind of yes for life. The thing that you're beginning to realize is that your yes isn't all that dependable. You can't count on your kids being what you've asked them to be. Your God. That's the trouble with all our religions, all our gods, all our homemade causes and affirmations. They are not God. They're not able to be what we make them. We have to work overtime to pump life into these kinds of gods. And that's what enslaves us, finally. Our homemade gods always demand more than they can deliver.
But my kids are good to me. I couldn't ask for more.
Well, sure they are. Sure they're good to you. But they can't be the whole ball of wax. And they won't be either. They grow up. They marry. They move away from home. They need us less and less.
Yeah, that's happening already.
Besides, none of us ever succeeds in justifying our own lives, even if our gods outlast us, because death says a final no to every one of us.
Well, wait a minute. I don't look at death like that. It's just when your number is up, it's up. You've bought it.
I'm not talking about how we look at death. I'm talking about the reality of death. It may be that death is the inescapable verdict upon each of us.
You make it sound like I'm guilty of something, but I don't feel guilty. There's nothing wrong with loving your kids.
Right, not if that's all that you're doing. But if loving them is the way you justify living, then you're living an evaluated life. And then death, too, is an evaluation. And it says, no.
Well, that's pretty hard to take. I mean, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be made this way.
That's, my friend, that's part of my point. When we can't justify ourselves, we can always try to blame something or someone or even the system itself. Anything to make sure that we're not in the wrong.
Say, aren't you preachers supposed to comfort people? None of this sounds very comforting to me.
Well, we started talking about religion, remember? Trying to test your theory that all religions are okay as long as you practice them. I've tried to say that all people have a religion, a way of getting a yes for life. But it seems that our homemade religions have a way of failing us, deceiving us, letting us down in life, and the verdict on that kind of life is death.
But you didn't say anything about God yet.
Well, you said you didn't want to be told anything about God. So we talked about religion and life and failure and death brought on by our self-made religions.
Yeah, okay, but aren't you preachers supposed to tell us a way out?
No, I don't think so. Whatever else I have to say, it's not a way out. Christianity is not some cheap escape from the way things are.
Okay, well, what is Jesus supposed to do then?
I'm glad you asked me that. Jesus doesn't let us off. He lets us in on himself, on what he is and what he does. He is God's yes to us. And he asks us to believe that and give up all our other gods and self-justifications. Jesus is a different way of dealing with people. Now, we might call it forgiveness, but it doesn't come cheap. Jesus' death on the cross is his final and total commitment to all of us. It's the way that he experiences Almighty God's verdict on all our homemade religions.
Jesus did all that?
Yes. On the cross, Jesus pays for our sins. He takes our place. In the Bible, Romans chapter 5, we're told that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. On that cross, Jesus took upon himself our verdict of death. But Jesus rose from the dead. He rose in victory. He rose in victory over the verdict of death, the final no of life.
For goodness sakes.
Yeah, you see, in Jesus, we are given God's yes. That sets us free to say no to all of our homemade religions, even to join on the verdict upon them. Because the yes in Jesus is stronger than the verdict. Because when the verdict has done its worst, the yes in Jesus overcomes it.
Well, I never heard it that way before.
But that's what Christians mean by the gospel. To believe that gospel means to entrust ourselves to the yes that's in Jesus. To hold on to that yes in Jesus against all the no's of life. To believe Jesus is to be free for all the things in this world that we want to make into God's. Free for bowling and for our kids and our work and our wife. We are really free for them because we need no longer to make them what they can't be, our gods.
Well, where does church and praying fit into all this?
Well, it helps that if we stop thinking that church is just a building or just a religious organization. Church is the people of God, gathered together by the yes that's only found in Jesus. The words and the songs that Christians share with each other about Jesus are meant to set them free. Free to be a part of God's yes in the world.
Well, that doesn't sound like any church I know.
Well, maybe we all have to ask where this is really going on. It's true even today that a lot of religious activity going on under the name of church is only a cover-up for our old homemade religions.
So you mean even church religions aren't all right when you practice them?
I'm saying that churches, even the Bible, can be misused. Wrong religion is not trusting the gospel, the yes that is in Jesus. And that kind of religion can be going on even in the middle of churches.
Wow.
One common result today is that church religion, unfortunately, can by some be boiled down to a list of do's and don'ts. And there are more than a few people, my friend, maybe even you, who stay away from church for this very reason. But right religion is where God's yes in Jesus is being heard and trusted and celebrated, and people are set free to love others who need to know God's yes for them that's only found in Jesus. Say, is this the airport?
Yeah.
Well, here, keep the change.
Oh, thanks. If you ever see Pastor Jones, tell him I say hello.
But I didn't get your name.
That's all right. Just tell him about me. He'll know.
But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him is yes. For all of God's promises in Christ are yes. In the name of Jesus, amen.